Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good at your job. They're called skills, and CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder CoLab. Check out resume examples, learn what recruiters are looking for, search salaries, and view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey to deeper conversations, always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcel Swally, that dude.
Hey, how today? Elbows up today, big dog. Oh, man, got love for you guys as you got love for Never Shut Up. You know where we learn those life lessons, where they intersect with sports. We're going to talk sports, but we're going to cover those who cover sports like no one else, man. This show is powered by you guys and ProjectTransition.org. What happens when you go to ProjectTransition.org? Well, one, you get to help out the community and the itty bitties so we can help them develop and amplify their inner power to unlock their true potential. And with your recurring donation, not only do you do all of that, but you get this book right here, Never Shut Up. Or you can leave a one-time donation or your email just to be a part of the team so you can wear your Letterman jacket when you walk around campus. So all the love for you guys. Log on to projecttransition.org. We had a few people who did it yesterday. You got Carlos Sanchez from Corpus Christi, Texas. Oh, man. I don't know what y'all be doing down there. I know y'all be playing some hella darts out there. George Barrett of Elgin, Oklahoma. Whew. Backgammon, all right there. I love you guys, man. And Herman Woods of Kenner, Louisiana. Man, all these small town places, y'all out there supporting, out there showing the love. You guys obviously know the impact you can make no matter where you guys are. Make sure I read your name next. Make sure you support ProjectTransition.org. All right, y'all. Y'all know how we start off every show with what's up with that dude. I am bougie as hell. Yesterday, I took my three itty bitties to their first group tennis lesson. Yep. And let me just say this. It went exactly as expected, which was not what we wished. We were sitting there like, my three-year-old ain't about no discipline yet. I hope she turns into a Wiley soon, because boy, I'm looking at her like my grandma, my mama, this ain't allowed. Like, she just don't give it. But I will say this. At that age, even the instructor was like, wait till they're in their fours. But you know, you always try to get ahead of it, or you want her to be a part of the group. Where are you going, Daddy? We're going to take big brother and big sister to play tennis, and you stay your butt home. So I'm like, all right, well, come on. And then she didn't do a thing. My four-year-old, ooh, she got to work on her hand-eye coordination. Like, she's into dance. She's into theater. She's into gymnastics. But this is the first time she ever did something with a ball. And I was like, okay, you got all the muscles, and you super fast. Even the instructor was like, goodness, this girl can run. I was like, yeah, she fast. But that ball came at her. She was like, hi, hi, hi. And MJ was MJ. Y'all know what MJ is. I got to stop. MJ, man, that little boy could do some stuff. Anyway, so we had a good time out there, despite the mosquitoes still at me. Thanks for all the tips on how to get rid of these mosquitoes out here. And other than that, went home. Was going to a pickleball outing, one of those open settings where random strangers or members of the country club just come and meet and play open pickleball. So I'm like, I'm leaving my house and I got a pickleball court, but I'm gonna go meet some strangers and play with them. But I went with my guy, Danny, that's my dog right there, and we played some random people. And let me just say, randomly, they were whipping me up. But we end up getting ourselves fixed and we end up winning a couple. After that, had a little buffet, kicked it, had a drink or two, hydrated. I felt grown, you know, took the kids to lessons and then went out there and played a little myself and hung out with some new buds, right? Yeah. All right, let's speak of new buds. Let's get into this show because Colin Kaepernick wants a new squad. Yes, he wants to be on the New York Jets, but not the active squad. He said, I'll take what you give me, homie. I'll be on the practice squad. So he wrote a letter to the New York Jets general manager, Joe Douglas, expressing his interest in joining the team's practice squad. First thing I thought of is like, how in the hell did this letter get out? And why did this letter get out? I don't even want to go too deep into that, but if I'm Colin Kaepernick or his team, why am I putting this letter out? Now, it goes with the narrative that I've always said that Colin Kaepernick knows he can't play, so all he has to do is act like he wants to play, and then that's going to make him continue to be a martyr. I've always said that. But at the same time, you know, there are reporters out there that do their job. Maybe this just got caught up in the process. Anyway, Kaepernick's letter was in response to the injury of Aaron Rodgers, and we know the Jets are trying to win a championship. At least they were. This offseason, at least they were for four plays in that first game, right? Now, with Zach Wilson, even though you this close to maybe turning it on, Zach Wilson, you this far in terms of the results right now. So Colin Kaepernick said he was writing in response to the unfortunate loss of Aaron Rodgers, and he wanted to keep the team on a Super Bowl track, keep them moving down that Super Bowl track. Now, that's not being so honest in this moment because he knows damn well they off track. That's why he writing the letter. So I don't want to be hypercritical, but keep it real, dog. Like, you ain't. I want y'all to continue going on this. What track? That track behind us. And you think you're going to fix it? Say you're going to fix it then. Don't say you're just coming in here to just be a fly on the wall or on the practice squad. I digress. So he explicitly stated that he wasn't seeking the starting quarterback position, but rather wanted to join the practice squad to help prepare the defense. Now, I thought that was strategic, even though it's not genuine. I think it's strategic. Hey, I know a lot of people think I only wanted to be a starter. Remember that narrative? Then he went up to Seattle. They were like, dog, you can't be the starter. We got Russell Wilson up here. He didn't want that job or it didn't work out, whatever you want to do, etc. So he's trying to dispel that, which is a smart play. Except it's not the smartest play if you're being real about this situation, because this problem is the starting quarterback position. So you want to come help keep us on a Super Bowl track we're not on anymore by being the backup on practice squad. That ain't our problem. Okay, so anyway, he says, as much as I would love the opportunity to fill that starting spot, I'm writing you in hopes that you can imagine a much different approach involving me. I will be honored and extremely grateful for the opportunity to come in and lead the practice squad. All right, says the first man ever. All right, let me just tell y'all something. For y'all who don't know what the practice squad is, look, they make money. They make job money. They make career money. But the ego, like, I'm just telling y'all, because it's all about keeping up with the Joneses. And it's not just financially, because there's going to be some dudes on your team making $20, $30 million a year, and you're making $100,000, a couple hundred thousand, right? It ain't that. It's the fact that you are doing the same job as that guy, and not that he's making 90x that you're making, is that he gets to treat you, if he wanted to, a little worse than everyone else. Now, I would say 90x, but you wouldn't be on the team. You're still a grown ass man, right? But at the same time, cats be boo booing on practice squad cats. Like, go get that, homie. What? I'm as old as you, bro. Like, so practice squad ain't for the faint of heart. Let's just say that. All right, but Colin Kaepernick at this age would like to take any opportunity he can. So despite his star status, we know who he is. He's a beast. When he was out there to the end, it kind of started to taper off and plateau, go downward. He had a Super Bowl appearance, and he was just saying, look, I'm humble, and I want to be on the squad. I would do this with the sole mission of getting your defense ready each week, is one of the quotes. He also said, unlike many of the veteran quarterbacks that have been named in the media, I've never retired or stopped training. The Jets had not signed Kaepernick at the time of this article and this conversation. Trevor Siemian is the guy that they actually signed to their practice squad instead. Okay, Kaepernick said he's ready. All right, I can't doubt that. I can't doubt his talent. I can't doubt his ability. I can't. I haven't seen it, but I can't doubt it. Because there was a time where when you talk about arm talent and mobility, that he was creme de la creme. He was top of the heap. There was a time where also reading defenses wasn't his strength. But there was a time where the results spoke for themselves and you were looking at Colin Kaepernick like a whole different man than you are right now. Practice squad back then would have never been a thought of yours. But we're here now. And where are we now? We're at a place where this just doesn't feel real to me. He sued the NFL. He settled that with the NFL, that lawsuit, and now wants to sign back to an NFL team. Everybody listening to me right now knows how preposterous that sounds, how ignorant that sounds, right? However, let's go through the conversation. Let's go through this process. This is the same process that has the energy of you sue somebody, oh, it's a wrap. That Stephen A. Smith to T.O. energy. You know what I'm talking about? Stephen A. Smith still mad at T.O. 4 years later for attempting to sue ESPN and bringing his name into it. So y'all remember that energy, right? We're going to keep that energy so we understand what this energy is. As T.O. say, keep that same energy, my guy. Right? So if we got that energy and respect, hey, Stephen A., he tried to sue you. Hey, that is kind of shady, dog. All right? People who are saying that, well, then keep that energy. You try to sue the NFL. No, oh, you did sue the NFL. You went even further and settled. And I'm telling you, in every settlement I've ever seen, ever been a part of, there is an NDA. And in that NDA, there's some things you can't say. There's some things the NFL can't do and say, and there's some things you can't do and say. He can't tell us what those are, but I wonder. I wonder if one of them is you're never going to play in the NFL again. I wonder. He can't say, they can't say, but I wonder how we really got here. All right, so we got this energy out there where we know if somebody sue you, you good on them. You cool on them. You don't wish them death, but you're like, bro, move, miss me, right? Stephen A. Smith to T.O., miss me, bro. So NFL to Colin Kaepernick, miss me, bro. Let's go past that. Okay. Even if they could get past that, do they trust Colin Kaepernick? Do they trust his intentions, good or bad? Do they trust Colin Kaepernick in the NFL? Y'all know that answer. No, because when he was in the NFL, it wasn't the fact that he silently protested, nonviolently protested. It was the fact that you sued them, and then they gave you an opportunity for a workout. You didn't like how that worked out. You chose your own workout, et cetera, et cetera. A lot more of a firestorm than the NFL wanted. It didn't support their economic model, say whatever you want to say. Okay, but here's the greatest thing of them all. The NFL, sometimes you ain't, what is it, Aikido, the martial art? You don't even have to use your strength against somebody. You use them against themselves, right? You use somebody else's words and actions against themselves. So Colin Kaepernick, when he was selling a documentary from Netflix, said that the NFL was a slave plantation, right? So if we all heard him say that the NFL is a slave plantation, why would you ever want to go and practice on a squad on that slave plantation? Got to answer that before I think the NFL is sitting there open-minded about this opportunity, because it just makes them not trust you even more. You called 32 teams making multimillionaires out of anybody that's on this team, especially black people, because there's more black people on them teams than not. 55% black NFL, 71%, I think it was 67, that world, 70% minority. I understand up top in the owner suite is billionaires, but I digress. So the NFL is not a slave plantation, or it is. Make up your mind, because who in the hell will want to work on a slave plantation in their own volition on top of having the cause and being the face of something like your cause and still saying, but put that to the side, I still want to play. Make it make sense. Or as my grandma said, you can't make sense out of nonsense, baby. So just getting that all out the way, those to me are the things that are holding up this process. And frankly, it's not holding it up. It's never going to come to fruition. It's never going to happen. It's never, ever going to happen for these reasons and much, much more. But I don't know that NDA. I don't know what Colin Kaepernick signed away. But he did, and he knows. And the NFL did, and they know. And that's why they are at this impasse. Okay. Now, sidebar, because I'm talking about the energy of suing somebody like T.O. to Stephen A. Smith and how that felt, I want to say one thing, too, about Colin Kaepernick in terms of me and my history of Colin Kaepernick, because I've been very critical of him then, very critical of him now. I haven't changed my stance, but I want to say one thing, because T.O. questioned Stephen A. Smith's blackness. I never questioned Colin Kaepernick's blackness. What I questioned, if you really listen, was the definition of black. And blackness. Here's the thing. I love the uniqueness that we all possess. We all got our own fingerprint. We all got our own signature, right? We're all different beings, right? We're all uniquely the same, but we're all unique. So I grew up where they were trying to box me in, you know, and I told them quickly, hello. The only box you're going to put me in is no box. You're not going to categorize me, bro. You're not going to make me and force me to have to go with some course of public opinion. I'm going to do what I want to do. March to the beat of my own drum. Respect, right? So in that same process, I started to realize, like, one, in my neighborhood, it was just simple. Like, you had to make these choices. And it's crazy because these choices were polarizing, just like I see some of the choices we're forced to make now. I grew up, yet cripple blood, you know what I'm saying? And if you don't bang, that's a gang in itself, because you're going to now have to deal with everything, right? Now it's all this, are you a Republican, Democrat, you know? Are you liberal, you conservative? Like, they're just forcing you to choose. And if you don't choose, who are you? You know what I mean? Same thing. I digress. I questioned the definition of black. I question this one drop rule. I question a Colin Kaepernick who didn't acknowledge or fully respect that he was half white, that he was raised by a white family. I question how he threw all that away and just said he was black because of the general definition of what black is. I like when you see a white person and they say, yeah, I'm white, but I'm actually Irish Italian. You're like, whoa, okay, break it down. Why do I like that? Because then I think that gives highlight to the uniqueness that we all possess. Stephen A. Smith, he's black, right? But he's an Islander black. Black, 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 black. We all black. Colin Kaepernick's black, but he's half white, half black. But he never says he's half white, half black. Or we never give proper respect and credit to someone who is biracial. Remember when Tiger Woods tried to do that? Wop, 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 wop. I was like, God dang, Tiger. Tiger just grabbed his 9-iron and left the studio. He was like, never again, never again. And that's unfair. You should have pride in all that you are, no matter what that is. And that's being for real. I know I say a lot of things with levity, but in all seriousness, this whole one drop rule, this whole, like, you got this much, you are that. And when it really was starting from a place of, we don't want you to be considered white, so if you got any black in you, you're black. Do y'all understand what that meant? Do y'all understand what they really were saying? Not the most positive of things. So I just thought that he would have come off to me more authentic if he accepted who he was in totality. And then still said what he said, but he didn't. And then he all of a sudden started to really talk bad about the system, the oppression, and disparaging white people at times, and white America. And I was like, damn, you saying all that and not acknowledging that you half white? Yeah, don't pass the smell test for me. Y'all make up your own opinion. So I just thought it was disingenuous how you sound talking down about all these things and all these people. And you were raised by white people. And you are half white. And you don't have to take my word for it. Your own parents, your own family were like, bruh, they had issue with it as well. So it takes me to this place where right now I'm raising my kids, right? And this is not the same level, trust me, I understand. But it does bring this conversation home. My son is ambidextrous. MJ is ambidextrous. Seriously. He will throw the football with his left hand, throw anything with a left hand, but right, penmanship with his right hand. Seriously. To the point we had to take him to the doctor. And we were taking, and now, you know, I'm objecting to this, the hood and me. Like, I ain't going to no damn doctor, because this boy could write, he can write with both hands if we want him to, and he can throw with both hands if we want him to. And they were like, yeah, but at the same time, you want him to have a dominant. You want him to choose. I was like, for what? But they talked me through it, and I was like, all right, look, as long as he can write better, okay, because he was having little issues with grabbing his pencil. Point of this whole conversation is this. He's ambidextrous. It's okay. Left and right. I can do both. I am both. Colin Kaepernick, black and white. You are black and white. You are both. It's okay. Now show the pride that you have. Now show the cause. Now show the effect you want to have an impact on this world from that place of a healthy perspective. Because when you come from that healthy perspective, it makes me respect your perspective. But to have the audacity to say that one of us speaks for all of us, I'm sitting here as a black man. Obviously, I have my 23andMe, and there's some pieces of other things in there, too. But I sit here as a black man saying, wait a minute. None of us should speak for all of us. And you're not speaking for me, because you're not even speaking for you. You're not even speaking for half of you. Woo! I could go all day and all night on this. I understand what he was saying. I understand the oppression for my ancestors. But to say that the NFL is a slave plantation, yeah. NFL paid for this, y'all. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna equate this to what my ancestors went through. Woo! Stop playing. So, let's see if he's going to start playing. Do you think that Colin Kaepernick will get an opportunity in the NFL ever again? Do you think that this approach, which seems more humble and showing humility than ever, is going to work for Colin Kaepernick? Or you think, oh, same song for Colin Kaepernick in terms of the results. He won't be in the NFL. Interesting. This was a different attack. Let's see if it gets him where he wants to go or not. Y'all see them sweats I'm wearing over here? Them gray prints. You know them girls love those. Oh, man. And you know what? Y'all should love this book right here. I'm nasty. ProjectTransition.org right here. ProjectTransition.org. Leave a recurring donation. People are doing that. You should be next. That supports the community. That supports the kids who we are helping support all the way through mentorship, resources, and scholarship. We need your support as well. Help them kids unlock their true potential. All right. Well, it seems like Shannon Sharp has left FS1 and unlocked his true potential because now he is on ESPN and First Take. And let's just say them ratings are showing Shannon has an effect, impact. So a lot of this is targeted at his old show and a lot of it is targeted at his old co-host, Skip Bayless. That battle is intensifying. So he went on Stephen A. Smith's show and criticized the ratings power of the new cast of Undisputed. Yeah, that's what he did, right? We know who's over there. Michael Irvin, Keyshawn Johnson, Richard Sherman, etc. Lil Wayne, we had baby, please say the baby, etc. Right? So he was saying that he has confidence that him and Stephen A. Smith will always be number one in the ratings. Here's a quote. Y'all not going to be better than me and Stephen A. That's not going to happen. I promise you that is not going to happen. Ever, ever. Ever, ever? Wow. So he emphasized that belief that neither the new cast nor Bayless, nor none of y'all, all y'all, you remember that movie? He was like, you too. None of them could outperform him and Stephen A. Smith on First Take. Now, he also talked about the possibility of taking over the reins of First Take if Stephen A. Smith ever decided to leave. Here's a quote. Now, if Stephen A. says, Shannon, I want to go in a different direction, you are still not going to beat First Take in the ratings. Golly, that's gang related. Because Stephen A. is that dude. And if Stephen A. ever decides to leave and turn the reins over to me, you all know I'm that dude. I'm him. I'm glad he said that dude, not that dude, because I'm that dude. All right, so basically, with or without Stephen A., First Take is coming in first place. First Take in first place. First Take in first place. That's what they do. Boy, I used to love that when you were in Pop Warner. Boom, beat them pads, get it in. I digress. All right, so First Take's ratings have improved since Sharp joined the show in September. Ain't no lie about it. Like, numbers are numbers. Objectively, it just says it. And it leads to some of the public celebration we're seeing from Shannon and from Stephen A. Smith. On the flip side, Undisputed numbers, yeah, They're facing challenges and fighting and finding its footing, as they wrote in this article, after Shannon Sharpe's departure. Let's just be real about that. They have taken a hit over there and they have gotten a bump over there. Shannon has to be feeling good about himself, as he should. So now let's talk about this. What is really going on behind the scenes of this one? Let's take you behind the veil. Let me first dispute the claim, the myth, the misnomer, that ESPN is just bar food, right? And I've been guilty of thinking that before, too, because you tell a lie long enough, you tell a lie strong enough and loud enough, shoot, gonna think it's real, gonna think it's true. But ESPN is not just bar food, not just backdrop TV at every sports bar and every library and every airport. No, it's not that. Let's dispel that myth. Why? Because ESPN, here's a report. This was about a year ago. ESPN reached approximately 76 million television households in the United States. All right. That was back then. Let me take you to August of this year. So what is that, a month or so ago? For the first time, and I quote, the most carried cable sports network in the United States is FS1. Per the Sports Business Journal, Nielsen's latest estimates indicate that FS1 is now in 71.3 million households. Okay, so whatever you want to say in terms of cable, in terms of households, they in the same amount. If not, FS1 got ESPN beat. So now, if we have that level playing field, let's talk through what's really going on. Undisputed, since they got the new cast, everybody. What did they debut? August 28th, something like that? They've had an extra week because Shannon came on the week after, I think like September 4th. So the new cast, their ratings have eclipsed 200,000 once. Once. And this was as recent as last week, the ratings I saw. Once, over 200,000. Their lowest was 108,000. Okay. So once over 200, most of them in the hundreds, and one 108, lowest. First Take, on the other hand, has gone over 700,000 three times, 1 week fewer in terms of its viewership because Shannon got there a week later. 700,000 plus three times in a shorter amount of time. And their lowest, remember, undisputed lowest of 108, 367 for First Take. So basically, First Take's lowest rating is close to almost double Undisputed's highest rating. Say that again. First Take's lowest rating is almost double Undisputed's highest rating. Okay. Their lowest rating for First Take, 505,000. Lowest for Undisputed, once again, is 108,000. What the hell is going on here? Okay. There is something that's going on here that we all know, but we're all not saying. This disruption of cable, we get that. Linear cable, you know, everyone is pulling the cord. We get it. Okay. But there's something also going on in terms of the content creators, and those who have a greater online presence. Right? Who has the greatest online presence? If you want to include social media, that would probably be Stephen A. Smith. Right there with Shannon Sharpe, 1 and 2. Maybe Shannon got him beat. Shannon has him beat in YouTube. I think Stephen A. Smith got him beat in social media. But hey, whatever. They're 1 and 2 together. Then there's Skip, 3. Now, if you look at Stephen A. Smith's podcast, you look at Shannon's podcast, and you look at Skip's podcast, I think that is congruent to what I just gave you in terms of the ratings. It's almost parallel of, oh, you put those two guys together who have those tremendous followings and subscriber lists on their podcast on a linear cable show, boom, to the moon. You put Skip Bayless, who, when we say, let's take him away from FS1 and that machinery, that engine, and just say, hey, people, rock with Skip Bayless. Y'all ain't rocking with Skip Bayless in terms of his podcast. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how that is detailing what the future of Undisputed is, because he ain't the only one on the show. And as we saw in the beginning, at least he was willing to take the back seat. He was willing to be more of a moderator. We'll see how that plays, because right now, Skip Bayless's Q rating in terms of future indicating how he's going to have the impact, it's down, man. It's down trajectory. Simple as that. So I want to know what y'all grade First Take, like as a show. Grade First Take, beat it up in the comments. Undisputed, grade that, beat it up in the comments, right? Because right now, Shannon knows. He ain't even feeling himself. He's like, dog, it is what it is, right? We in cruise control, and we beating y'all in sixth gear. Y'all mashing the gas. We just chilling at the red light and still beating y'all. It's interesting to see how that goes. And y'all a fan of this way? I mean, look, I love it. Hey, compete, go at each other. At the same time, he going at somebody that months ago was your dude. Now, I guess, hey, different colors. We wearing different stripes. We wearing different uniforms. Let's go. So do y'all like this feud? Or y'all like, man, come on, man. Let that stuff go. Wow. Oh, man. It's the racial show right here, boy. So crazy to me that people really get caught up in race in 2023. Please don't give me a history lesson. Please stop. Come on right now, dog. All right. I understand people judge you by your color, your skin, and yep, you're ignorant, whoever you are. But let's talk about this and see if this is ignorance right now. Skip Bayless basically surmised that some of the hate that's coming at Deion Sanders is coming from specifically white coaches that take issue with this. So let's get into it. Let's talk about the white coach, Dan Lanning, right? And we saw that pregame speech. It went viral. Y'all already seen it. We already discussed it, right? About the hype surrounding Colorado and substance and blah, blah, blah. So Oregon's playing for wins. Colorado's playing for clicks. Okay. And it was some irony, they said, in that, and I mentioned it as well, because Oregon is known, if you want to say the top schools known for more of the flash, known for more of the hype, known for more of what they do in sizzle and substance, but they ain't won no natty, but they have won 9 conference championships since 94. So can't take nothing away from them, but at the same time, it felt like flash talking about hype. It was kind of weird. Anyway, Skip Bayless caught notice of this as well. And he was not alone, but he was one of those who criticized the intensity and the perceived negativity in Lanning's attitude towards Deion Sanders. Even though Lanning has been on record before the game and after the game, giving Deion his props of what he's doing in terms of the energy, electricity, and excitement he's bringing to college football. But that always gets lost. You know, the positive things always get lost, right? Everybody wants to go and focus in on the car crash. So let's do that. Skip Bayless suggested there's a deeper issue at play here among white coaches against Deion Sanders. He says, quote, there's a deep-rooted, venomous vengeance that is starting to manifest itself against Deion among white coaches. Woo-wee! I took exception to that, and I'm going to tell you why later. All right, so Lanning responded to Skip Bayless, stating that he doesn't know him and has watched him frequently get things wrong, implying that Bayless's comments were inaccurate, right? I don't know Skip at all. I've never had a conversation with him. I've watched him enough to know that how often he gets it wrong. So that sounds about right. That was a good wordplay right there. I know how often he gets it wrong, so that sounds about right, right? That's really good. All right, so Lanning defended his pregame speech, as he should, emphasizing that it was meant to motivate his team, not your team, his team, and express positive sentiments about how Deion Sanders has affected football. Okay, let's get into this. We all know that the energy and excitement in college football feels like it's at not an all-time high, but certainly of late recent history, we are on a different level right now. I don't know if we're on a different level in terms of play, but the energy around college football is fun. We saw Notre Dame play Ohio State, and that was the most watched game in 30 years. Did I hear that? Yes. Y'all out there loving some college football right now. So we got a racial component to this, so let's break it down. What an impossible position to put Dan Lanning in if you're Skip Bayless, this white-on-white crime. To have to defend this, to defend his statement of saying that he went at Deion Sanders because he's white and Deion is black, and there's this deep-rooted venomous vengeance that he possesses that is manifesting itself in his comments. How do you disprove this, first of all, if you're Dan Lanning? Let me help you out. Hire the Wiley Law Firm or Wiley & Wiley, Wiley. And the first thing you need to do is just look at the landscape. So he's saying this is a white coaching issue against Deion Sanders, a black coach. When there's a landscape of 133 football bowl subdivision teams, FBS teams, 133. How many of them have black head coaches? Anybody? You want to take Deion out the mix? Okay, let's do that. Four others. Don't you hate when you got to like disprove and or prove a negative? Don't you hate that? You'd be like, dog, I'm coaching against almost all white coaches. So anything they say that praises me or criticizes me is going to come from more than likely a white coach. Let me give you what that really means. Let me crystallize that for you. When you do sports media like myself, like all the guys we talk about all the time, and you cover the major sports, football, basketball, you're typically going to talk about who? Black people. Therefore, you're going to get the label at times. Now, some people deserve the label, but you're going to get the label at times of being too critical of black people. Well, let me just tell you, that's the pool that we're swimming in, damn it. It's 50 to 70 some percent black people out there, depending on the sport. That's the same thing that's happening right here. But I don't want to dismiss it totally to just the numbers, but largely to the numbers. Let's say that. Deion also, this is another thing to help you, Dan Lanning. You better hire me on retainer, Wiley, Wiley, Wiley. This ain't the first time Deion caught smoke as a head coach. Jackson State, anybody? Y'all want to go back through those receipts? Hell.
Well, what do you think he is? He walking on the field all early doing around the circles. Who do you think he is?
Were they white? Were they white head coaches? At HBCUs? They were white? Oh, they weren't? Oh, okay, okay. See what I'm saying? This is that BS. Skip is on that BS with this. Look, it gets the attention, it gets the clicks, it gets me talking about it, and I'm going to talk about it just to parse away the real from the fake, but do better. It's crazy. It's a faulty premise. White coaches hate Deion. No. You know who hates Deion? And I bet it's going to be a black coach sooner or later. Status quo coaches. People who just like it the way it is. Lazy recruiters, you know what I mean? People who just like the simple life. Oh, the way it was, you know what I'm talking about. The one who always making lemonade with anime, you know what I mean? Them. That ain't got nothing to do with this. Dan Lanning, the only thing I didn't like, and it was nitpicking, only thing I didn't like is that he used a lot of Deion fuel in his gas, a lot of Deion octane in his gas. That's going to come back to hurt him sooner or later. I don't know when Deion is good. When his team has offensive and defensive alignment like they should that matches their skill position players, you'll see. But only status quo coaches is going to have a problem with this. Those who are nimble have no problem. It kind of parallels me and like being at FS1, being at ESPN, and then realizing, oh, wow, there's another space where you can do the same thing, you know, and you can build yourself up. The nimble adapt. And the status quo, the stoic, get off my lawn, just sits there and complains all the way through it. I wasn't going to do that. FS1 didn't deserve that. Acho didn't deserve that. Nick Wright and them didn't deserve that. I can't get on their shows and be over there being like, sour puff. I don't like this. So same thing with these coaches, man. When they have something critical about Deion, make sure you separate. Are they mad at Deion because they are black coach like Jackson State when he was there? They mad at Deion because they're a white coach, like at Colorado, he's there? Or are they just mad at Deion? Or are they just mad at what Deion is representing? But black or white, Deion already caught smoke. It wasn't about the race of the coach. It was about the fact that Deion is doing something different. And as you have learned from the beginning of time, if you ever try to lead people in a different way, there's going to be some hell to pay. Even on Earth. So, Deion just going through that. Stop, Skip Bayless. Do better. All right. So, let's talk about this. Y'all feel there's jealousy, obviously, about Deion. But do you think it's racial? And if so, how much of it? We got black coaches killing him. We got white coaches killing him. I mean, y'all give me another lane to look at this. And does Skip really have an ounce of truth to what he's saying? Do you really believe Skip? Beat it up in the comments. Beat me up in the comments. Let's talk about that. And what impact, if any, can these statements have on college football? You think this is going to change up the media dynamics? Coaches are now using each other for clickbait to go at it. Think college football wants that? They want the Wild Wild West? Or are they kind of like, nah, bro, chill? Oh, man. Oh, I'm glad y'all stopped doing that in them songs, you rappers. Skirt, skirt. Y'all ever listen to iTunes and get it, like, deep in the playlist or, like, some no-name rappers? Like, you don't know who it is. It's, like, J. Curb Crazy. And you're like, all right, who's J. Curb Crazy from St. Louis or something? You listen to him, and he doing all the things that the big artists do, but it just don't sound the same. That always cracks me up. I'm like, I hope it works for you, because the beats sound kind of the same, and you're doing the skirt, skirt, and you're doing all, but it just, eh. All right, whatever. All right, man, let's get into this bonus topic right here after we show some love to ProjectTransition.org. ProjectTransition.org, homie, right there. Leave a recurring donation, yes, and I will give you a shout-out on the show like I did in the beginning of today's show. Or just your email, one-time donation, whatever it is. Y'all know these kids need help, and y'all know I need to lead them kids. Nah, I got to help the kids out, support them. My life's mission is to be a giver, right? I'm going to make a living off of giving. That's it. That's me. So let's do it together. All right, Sean Payton. Ooh-wee. Oops. Hi, Sean Payton, boy, what had happened with you? All right, this era of Denver Bronco football under Sean Payton, off to a slow start. It's begun poorly. They're 0-3 right now. Now, 70-20 loss we saw humiliating to the Miami Dolphins. You let somebody boat race you like that. It's time to look in the mirror. Everybody, all y'all get in front of some mirrors, right? But this is a different lane of it. Local media has taken issue with it. Y'all remember Brandon Stokley? I remember Brandon Stokley, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. Actually, I think that's my daughter's godfather. Like, I should really know that, right? But I think so. Long story, but I get to it one day. All right, so for the handling of the media, and he accuses Sean Payton of favoring national media over local reporters. And I was like, wow, we still doing that? I remember when I played, cats used to act like that. Like, they'd be sitting there in their locker, and then our sports media person comes in, and he's like, hey, Marcellus, hey, so-and-so, we got Ken Hosenhaus here from Buffalo Tribune. And you're like, oh, okay. Now, me, I was always nice, but I'm just using me because I don't want to out any of my teammates, protect the guilty. So they were like, oh, okay. And then he'd be like, oh, no, we have Peter King from Sports Illustrated. Oh, really? Where Peter at? Where? God dang. Like, no, why are you doing that, dude? Peter? Why are you doing Rosenhaus like that, man? Give that man some love. So here's the thing. This is what Brandon Stokley had to say about it. Honestly, here, and I'm a Sean Payton fan here, you don't get passes when you come in and you treat the local media one way, but the national media another way. So he pointed out how Payton has a contrasting style and treatment of national versus local media. And he's got frustration with the approach. He said, quote, you've just got to get up there and take it like a big boy. If that was a national reporter, if that was Seth Wickersham or Jared Bell, he wouldn't have answered it like that. I can promise you that. And that's what pisses me off. He's talking about that response with Sean Payton was like, yeah, I answered that already. What's the question? It always makes me think I don't care enough because I never lose myself like that when I played and stuff. I was like, why am I mad at you? Like, I don't displace my aggression. If I'm mad at you, I'm mad at you. But guess who I'm mad at? That team that just whooped my ass. Who am I mad at? My team that didn't show up. Why am I taking that out? That is some chump change shit. When I see that every time, I'm like, dog, you weak. Taking it out on this dude. He asking the question. Yeah, I mean. What he really wanted to ask is the real, bruh, you said a lot coming into this job, and you said a lot this offseason. You said a lot about Nathaniel Hackett. You want to retract any of that? Because Nathaniel Hackett never looked like this. That old school approach where you assume that a reporter, oh, because he local, can't reach everybody. That's so 90s. Like, dog, all these cats got followings. All these cats got social media. All these cats report to other publications. All these cats can reach everybody. It's over. That game is played. Talking loud and ain't saying nothing. That's what Sean Payton is starting to look like because it's crazy. He 3-0. I mean, oh, 3-0. He wishes 3-0. 0-3. Guess who was 2-1 last year? Nathaniel Hackett. 2-1. Now, it ended 5-12, but he started off 2-1. Started off faster than Sean Payton. Even beat the 49ers last year. Come on, Sean Payton, do better, right? Came in there, and I swear he was employed in part because he had the stripes, he had the cred, he had the resume, he had the championship medal to go out there and detach this organization, if necessary, from Russell Wilson. I always say that. But now somewhere Nathaniel Hackett is over there like, yeah, what's up, Doc? You know, that actually sound pretty good. Let me do it. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. What's up, Doc? Nathaniel Hackett like, what you say? What? 70-20? 0-3? I was 2-1. And the worst loss they had was to the defending champs, the Rams at that time, which weren't looking like the defending champs, but they still beat them 51-14. So Nathaniel like, dog, you starting off worse than me. You ain't making Russell Wilson look that much better, if anything. Worst record, worst boat race, got killed. Would you say I did? I was the worst coach in NFL history? You said something about that? Yeah. What's up, huh? So, man, all I want to say is, Sean Payton, get right, bro. Because you came into this job swearing, and I thought so too, that he was going to be the guy that was going to be able to bring the fist and the hard hand, heavy hand to Russell Wilson. Get this organization reset. Now, you keep doing this, they're going to look past Russell Wilson and say, we're going to keep the quarterback. We got to get rid of Sean Payton. He ain't all in. That TV messed him up. Them last years in New Orleans, let's look at them again. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, it happens fast in the NFL. So how do y'all think coaches should manage media relations? Like, obviously not talk to somebody like that, but what's the best way to do it? I mean, you hot 100. You just got embarrassed for the world to see. You lost 20-70. Not 70-20. You lost 20-70. You don't want to be talking to nobody, but you got to talk. How do you think they could fix that? And how important is a relationship with the media from a coach's perspective, for real? We there to watch the game. I don't give a damn what you were thinking, coach. Oh, actually, I do. No, I don't. It depends on it, right? So y'all beat that up in the comments, all right? And do y'all think there is a difference between national and local media? Think you should treat them different, like being real, you know? You local, homie. I'm good, homie. And then national. Oh, what's up, baby? How you doing? You want to go out tonight? You know what I mean? Should you treat them different? All right, y'all. It's time to funk up some comments. Funk up some comments. Yay. Let's talk about that social deletion. You are that dude. Thank you. I've been trying to tell my son exactly what you are saying, but not as eloquent as you. Just shared this with him. Thank you. Yes, I'm glad you did share with him. Do not run away from anything in this world, man. If you got to deal with it, deal with it. People say you don't have to deal with social media. Yes, you do. Even if you don't have it, everybody else going to have it and they're going to post you. You don't have to have social media to get posted. You don't have to have social media for people to talk about you. To me, I'm a big believer in it. If it's existing, I'm going to learn how to coexist with it. I'm going to learn how to defeat it. I'm going to learn how to not let it get to me. That's all I'm saying, y'all. I ain't saying live online. I'm just saying when online talk trash about you, go like this. Well, boring. The trolls win when they get under your thin skin, and perhaps the one deleting their social media is the troll, right? Yes. Well, your thin skin, if you can't have a profile to show all your friends from third grade, all your friends from college that you ain't going to group text all of them, you ain't going to call them all, you ain't going to email them all, you got this platform all of us have where your friends could check in. Do you know how we went to the funeral in Canada? Every single family member kept coming up to me saying, oh my God, it looks so fun what you guys were up to. Oh my God, MJ playing football looks amazing. I love, like, you think I'm texting them? Using up my international rates, man, on them. No, I'm not. So stop it. It's a rough time to be named either Russell or Wilson in sports these days. Everybody hates you. Some of it not warranted. Facts. Mr. Wiley, Zach Wilson is closer to being out the league than being a good quarterback. You ain't lying, but he's still close to being a good quarterback. But you're right, he's closer to being out the league. Butter or jelly on that toast? He's toast. 3 years, the team was wearing Mike White, my quarterback t-shirts last year. There's a reason why they went after a damn near 40-year-old Rodgers. Facts. Facts. But you know I'm positive, y'all. I believe the children are our future. Thank you. Lou Holtz, maybe Coach Day needed some motivation material. I watched the interview and I considered it comedy. It wasn't that serious. Speaking of Lou Holtz, have you caught his rebuttal of Day's rant? It's hilarious as well. Dog, Lou Holtz got jokes. He one of those dudes that got the, like, those jokes, those joke book jokes, but he can just keep rapid firing them. I remember we used to work together. He just, what about this one, Marcellus? I'm like, what? How you remember? I can't remember Jack. I can't remember people's names. I can't remember people in my classes. I can't remember people on my team. And he was like, yo, watch this joke. I was like, Blue Host, you got a brain, bro. All right, Micah versus Tyreek Hill. Good for the game, gets you hype like a boxing match. Tyreek Hill is a lion, but Parsons is 1-2. We all know Miami's going to win that game, do we? Yeah, I would bet. I think they're favorite. I don't know if they're going to win. Talk about the Broncos getting 70 hung on them after Sean Payton called the pass coach the worst coaching job he's ever seen. You are the head coach. That was unacceptable. At least Nathaniel never got 70 hung on him. I know. You know, I'm embarrassed. Ooh, I don't know if Sean Payton married or single. You imagine being in that house being his boo. And he come home. And this ain't why he mad. He ain't as mad at they lost 70-20 as he stepped in and said somebody was worse than him that didn't lose that bad. There is no escape, can't get away, dumping with them funky rhymes. Where that from? There's no escape. No escape. And if you was boo, you just sitting there on the side of the couch. You know, you have your girl sitting on the side of the couch just looking at you. And she just looking at you. And you looking straight ahead. She looking at you. And she just looking like, that's pathetic. She ain't going to say. When your woman doesn't say anything to support you, you know why? Because she can't. Because she's thinking you're pathetic. That's why I know it when my wife does. I'm like, damn, babe. Say something good. She can't. All right. Y'all know how we finish every show. We finish it with a Wiley-ism. Yeah. Living in a world where truth is gossip and lies are gospel. Testify Wiley. Well, no lie. I'm seeing some of that in terms of when I am giving candor, candidly talking through situations, giving you ammunition, evidence, receipts that you're not privy to having. Some people would think that's gossip because it's the truth. Meanwhile, you'll watch somebody on television lie their ass off because I know them and I know it. Dog, do you know how many text messages that I still have that I will never, ever, ever, ever show y'all or tell you where it's from? But said one thing on that text and said something complete, not kind of different, completely opposite on air. You know how many times I've been sitting there talking to somebody and then at the end of the break, they say, all right, dog, so what you really feel? I was like, you punk. What do you mean what I really feel? I just said it. What do you mean? What do you really feel? Oh, I thought you were just saying that. Child, please. So I'm like, man, people really out there like that, dog. But they say it long enough and loud enough, y'all think it's true. And then that becomes gospel. And then when somebody comes through really with the truth, you think they lying and you think they gossiping. Ain't that crazy? Ain't that crazy? What they say? Fish fillet? It's just wild out here in these streets right now. So what we need is a better moral compass. What we need is more people speaking up. It's the cocktail party. It's the PC-ness of our society. They are boxed people in to not say what they really feel. Case in point, somebody hit me yesterday and showed me this picture. And the picture was of a dude somewhere online stressed out. It was two fathers stressed out because they just had a baby from a surrogate. Two dudes had a baby. And one of the dudes was like stressed out. And I was like, okay, what's the problem? And then he was like, you don't see a problem in that? And they were going back on the group text. He didn't do nothing. Why are you stressed? And I was like, okay, why are you showing me that? You know him. Won't you tell him that first? Nah, that's the homie. With friends like you, who needs enemies, right? Like, it's crazy, man. You telling me all this smoke and we group text about it? I was like, oh. Look, he looks tired from a marathon he didn't run, right? Check his shoes. They clean. I get it. But why are you telling me first and not him? You want to know why? Because we living in a world where truth is gossip and the lies are gospel. People get shook telling somebody the real because they're going to be looked at like, Man, we don't got so used to just BSing that we don't know the real from the fake. So make sure that you are not a part of this world, or do your damn best, because I know how it goes. There's always that social pressure. Why are you over here keeping it 100? You know what I mean? But just know that we are living in a world where truth is gossip and lies are gospel. All right, y'all. That'll do it for More To It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today.
Want to keep the conversation going? Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. More Two is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, Dad Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. The show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley, Paul Anderson, and Nick Pinella. Thanks for all the love, ratings, and subscriptions, and reviews, membership to Wiley's World on YouTube. Keep it coming, because there's more coming from More To It. Talk to y'all hella soon.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.